Morning, everyone. Hope you've had a good week. It's been an exciting week for me. I've been helping out at the Adventist School at BAC doing Go Week. And I know Noah and some of the boys were up there. And we had this week of worship. There's a program every single morning, goes to about an hour. And I got to be involved with music, playing bass, doing these cool songs for all the kids. And they had some activities. They had Pastor Ray Mawaga, who was there speaking and pointing all of the kids to Jesus. What is it like to live your life with Jesus? What does he want you to do with your life? And so it was really, really good. And yesterday, the last day, he did an appeal, and probably 90% of the kids came forward and they said, we want Jesus in our lives. We want to follow him. We want to learn about him. And it's just amazing, isn't it, when you see young people going, yes, I want Jesus. And today we get to see a bit of that journey that's progressed with Chris when he's being baptized, and that's super exciting. So congratulations, and we're looking forward to your baptism. So it's been a good week, and today we are beginning a new sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. I thought that was a pretty cool photo of the fruit of the Spirit. Of course, it's not actual fruit. These are characteristics. These are attributes that the Holy Spirit grows and develops in our lives. When we're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit works in our lives to develop our characters, that we become more like Christ our Savior. So we are beginning today. We'll read Galatians. We'll read the verses. There's only two of them. They're on the screen, and they go like this. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This morning we are looking at the first one of these fruits, which is love. Now, one of the founders of the Adventist Church was a lady named Ellen White, and she made the following statement. It has often been presented to me that there should be less sermonizing by ministers and that greater personal effort should be put forth. Our people should not be made to think that they need to listen to a sermon every Sabbath. Many who listen frequently to sermons, even though the truth be presented in clear lines, learn but little. Often it would be more profitable if the Sabbath meetings were of the nature of a Bible class study. This is what Ellen White says, and so this is what we are going to do this morning. And we are doing this so that everyone can be involved. The kids, I hope you're listening. This is for you as well. So mums and dads, I encourage you to grab your kids and join in this discussion with them. We all get to be involved today, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, talking about love. So this is what we will do. On your way in, I hope you got one of these booklets. If you did not, if you raise your hand, and I have some people who will bring them to you. They are racing to grab the booklets. Okay, they will give one to you. I made these little booklets. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. If you can keep your hand up, they'll bring one to you. It is also in the church app. If you prefer to use the church app, the exact same information is in the app. And this is what we will do. We'll work together with the people around us. We can do that in a COVID-safe way. We can talk and chat with each other. And the first thing to do is to read the Bible verses that are there on the booklet, that are there in the app. So read what the Bible has to say. I've crammed in as many as I can into this booklet. What does the Bible say about love? The next thing to do is to come up with a definition of love. This may sound easy. I think it may be harder than you realize. This word, I think, has been trashed by society. What does it mean when we say, I love you? What does it mean when we say, Jesus loves you? What does it mean when we say, or sing, Jesus loves the little children, right? What does this actually mean? Jesus loves us. What does it mean? So read the Bible verses. What is a good biblical definition of love? The next part is to come up with some illustrations of love. If you're explaining God's love to someone, illustrations are great. Examples are great. What are some examples of love? We can say, for example, love is like a flower. It is beautiful, but it takes time to grow. Yeah, isn't that lovely? We can say, love is like a Toyota Hilux. It's reliable. How about that? We can think of all these different illustrations of love. And you'll notice as we're going through this booklet, we're putting together a Bible study, aren't we? We're putting together a sermon. What does the Bible say? My own personal thoughts, some illustrations. And then the last part is to come up with some challenges for the week, some personal challenges. What will you do to grow closer to God, and what will you do to share God's love with others? I don't want this to be something that you just hear at church, go home and forget. I want this to be something that you practice, you think about during the week, some personal challenges for you. So I'll give you 10-15 minutes to work with those around you, and then I'll come around with a mic, and if any of you would like to share your thoughts, share what you've come up with, we'll have some time for that as well. So I encourage you to work with those around you. We'll go through these points and then we'll share together. Thank you. Okay. So that's been about 15 minutes. I hope it's been long enough. But really, there's never enough time to talk about the love of God, is there? The whole Bible is telling us what God's love is like, how much He cares for us, His plan for our life. But it's good that we can begin the conversation today. I'll come around now with a mic, and Steve is going to help me. And if you would like to share your definition of love or an illustration of love that your group came up with, maybe just put up your hand or let us know, or we can come and choose a few of you. I'll start on this side. Do you have a definition, just a quick definition or an illustration of love?
A little bit of both, brother. Good morning, church family. Simply put, love is as it does, and it bears witness to the fruit that's inside it. And we see that in Jesus' sacrificial love. That's the evidence we have. It's not about what we can get in a relationship so much as we say things like, I love that fish, but you took it out of the water, you boiled it, and you ate it. You didn't love the fish. You love what the fish could give you. Jesus came and died because He loved us, pure and simple. It was a sacrificial act of giving. Yeah, good to see you guys.
Thank you, Jared. And that's John 3:16, isn't it? God so loved the world that He gave. This is what we see with Jesus. Do you have an illustration, an example? Yes? No? Okay. Well, your definition of love. How did you define love? Is there someone? Elijah? What is love?
So we were talking about it, and I like the point that Broglie brought it up, and he said love is one of the most abused words, and he said love is not emotion, it's purely principle, because emotion changes, but principle doesn't change. Whether you like it or not, it is there. So that's the kind of love that God had for us, and He sent down Jesus so that Jesus can come and die for us, because the love He has for us is not emotion, but it's principle, and that's the kind of love that God wants us to have.
So true, thank you. God's love is not fleeting, it is steadfast. Okay. Anyone else? You have an illustration of love that you came up with? Or your definition? Yeah?
When you put another person's interest before yours.
Yes, others first, always. And that's certainly what we see with Jesus. Okay, up the back.
Hang on. Happy Sabbath, everyone. My friend here couldn't say it, so I'm in it too. Love is patient, practical, kind, self-control, thoughtful, gentle, giving, and genuine. You know, love to me is like when you're born, God already put love there. So as you grow, you know, it's just genuine, it's just there. That's how I put love is. Already there.
Yeah.
So if you don't have it in you, and it depends how you were brought up too, you know, in a family, that love with the family too, you know, with your parents, how you grow that love, just come out genuine.
Thank you. It's a really good point. We all have different understandings of love from our family, and then we grow and we read the Bible. Yeah, what does God have to say? This is what we're learning.
Love is action. You have to show, not tell. Love is action.
Thank you. There's someone else on this side. The boys, what do you think? Any illustrations of love? Love is like... What is love like? Is there anyone else who would like to share? We can't say that love's like the Brisbane Broncos, can we? It makes you cry. Shocking Broncos. So that's a bad illustration. We won't use that one. Maybe it's like the Newcastle Knights. They're doing a bit better this year. There's lots of ways we can think of love. We can illustrate love. And I think the most beautiful illustrations come from nature, come from creation. This is what God has made for us. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So I hope you've enjoyed it as we go through today. And I hope you've thought about the back page. That's a really important one as well. This is the challenge for the week, the personal application. This looks different for each of us. And so I hope you think about that. So this is our sermon time. We're going to move into the baptism time now. So I invite up Pastor Zenny, who will lead us in the next part of our program.
Thank you, Jared. Well, it's my real pleasure to stand here before you and to introduce you to, once again, to Chris. And many of you would know Chris, and I'm going to invite you to come up, Chris. And thank you. And once again, Vicky and John, thank you once again for coming and just making this day special for Chris. It is a special day, Chris, and it's been more than a year. How long? I'll give you a mic. How long it's been that since you started coming?
So I started. Test.
Try again.
Checking.
Yeah, it's working.
So I started coming here on the Easter service last year.
Okay, you know exactly the time. And I do remember you when you came, you were seated somewhere there. And I said, this is a new guy. But then you came, and then you came, and then you came again. Yeah. I said, okay. All right, so that's how it started. And then we started having Bible studies. Actually, we would meet in the kitchen, and we would talk over soup and buns. And And that's how it started, friendship between us. And then it went from there, and then we started Bible studies and the whole story. And then you share your story and testimony with me. It's a powerful testimony that you shared with me. Well, before you share your testimony, which I'm sure everybody is looking forward to hearing, I just want to say how much I appreciate the friendship and how amazed I am with God who does so much for people he loves, and he has displayed his love on you as well. So please share your testimony.
Thank you, Pastor Zenny. Now, before I share my testimony with you guys, I'd like to share a couple of Bible verses with you that have really helped me through some tough times, and that's the well-known John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now for me, coming from a Catholic background, coming from a family that didn't really go to church except for special occasions, this one really spoke to me that there's no amount of sin in our lives that we can commit that will stop God from loving us. And the other one I'd like to share with you is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. In times when we feel anxious and fearful, we can always turn to God and He'll always be there to guide us. Like in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Coming to these truths, I started to hunger and hunger more, but it wasn't until I read Romans 3:23 that the penny dropped, that it finally dropped. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And then the penny dropped. I had that Isaiah moment. Woe was me, I'm unclean. And I fell to my knees on April 25 and I said, Lord, I am so unclean. I am so dirty. Please forgive me for all of my sins. And please welcome me into your family. And from that moment on, He has helped me build from strength to strength. And He's guided me through so much. He's guided me through not only career choices, but He's guided me through. And He's changed desires in me from what I've once desired, I no longer desire. Like what I put into my mind, like certain TV shows I won't watch now, certain music I won't listen to now because it doesn't glorify God. He's also put in me the ability to be able to just love in a way that I never thought was possible. And since coming to God, I've experienced a love that words can't describe, because the love of God is more than just empty words. It's His action. It's a sacrifice that He made for us so that we may live, even though we've sinned against Him, we've disobeyed Him many times. His love is still there for us. And there was a time in my life when I went through severe depression and was having trouble managing my emotions and things, so I turned to medication hoping that would help. And I remember thinking one day, what am I doing with my life? What have I done? What am I doing to God to not trust in Him for everything that He's done for me? And yet I'm turning to other things to satisfy that depression, that anger that's inside of me, that bitterness, that anxiety. So a few months later, I turned away from all that and I went to God again and I said, God, I need You. I'm broken. Please fix me. And from then, He's continued to work on me. He's changed my desires. He's changed my whole outlook on life, from thinking thoughts of suicide and actually vividly picturing how I would do it, to actually giving me a purpose in life. And He's also showed me in Genesis, we are made in His image. And to me, when I heard that truth, it just sealed the deal for me. Like, how amazing is it that we are made in the image of God, our Creator, and that He has given us the authority and the power over the evil spirits in our lives, over the demons, over our negative thoughts and emotions, and that we no longer have to be subject to them because of God. And then God has also said to us in Revelation, behold, I come quickly. So it is my plea to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that if there's anything in your life that is holding you back from the Lord, from giving your life to the Lord, I pray and I plead to you now that you make things right with Him, that you ask Him for that forgiveness, that you ask Him for that help, because He will help you if He needs you. And He will continue to build you up, and He will never give you a reason not to trust Him, because He can never lie. Thank you, Pastor Zenny.
No, you can stay. You can stay here. Stay. Chris, I am I've always been touched by a genuineness of the conversion of the Spirit of God in your life. And even in last week's lesson, we talked about the power of story. Nothing can beat the power of story. Very often people are prepared to talk straight away about beliefs, and that doesn't help others. But what can beat the story of a person who has gone through depression, suicidal thoughts, and then the good news of Jesus comes and just turns person around from being self-centered, down in pits, with no kind of really bright future, to a person who is upbeat, purposeful, found meaning, and knows the secret for life. There is nothing that can beat that story. You can only share the beliefs after you have a winsome story to share, and you have that story, and you know the secret. Well, what can stand now before you? Nothing. When God is with you, who can go against you? You have the story. Treasure the story, and treasure Jesus, who is the secret of that story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Don't go away. Don't go away. So, Chris, you know that baptism is just a public expression of what you have already experienced. Jesus is already in your life. I speak of the time before baptism like a courtship. You know, boyfriend and a girlfriend, they are in love. And what more do they need? Well, they do. They need to get married. And that's the whole point. In other words, love already exists. You already are in relationship. You already have that winsome story. It's you. But there is something about it being public, being a commitment before God, being very formal, being commitment before God and before all those witnesses. It's expression of your faith as a believer, as somebody who has come to know who Christ Jesus is and who identifies with Jesus at the point of his death. That's what it is. You're identifying with Jesus at the point of his death, at the point of his burial, and at the point of his resurrection. So that's really what it is. And it's kind of being played out of what happened already. That's what I shared with you on one occasion in the book of Romans chapter 6. It's all about what already happened. And you are just acting it out today because Jesus died 2,000 years ago for you. Literally your sins, you were somehow present 2,000 years ago. At the cross, on Golgotha, in Palestine, you were present. Because your literal sins and my sins and your sins, all of ours, they were present there. So Jesus died then for all our sins. Saved us 2,000 years ago, not today, 2,000 years ago. And today we are just receiving the news that it happened 2,000 years ago. How amazing is that? And all you need to do is just accept the news, and the news is 2,000 years old. So as he died 2,000 years ago, and I'm dying, but I died already before, and as I come out, I know that I'm resurrected with Christ. How beautiful is that? So that is a public declaration that I have embraced good news. How beautiful is that? I know you have totally embraced it. I know, and I know that your enthusiasm will rub off, and it is already rubbing off on many people around. Keep it up, my friend. Stay in love and stay close, because it is a discipline. It is a discipline. Let me just formally okay. Can we make this red one work? Thank you. So I'll just ask you to, the second time you're going to go through something as formal will be your wedding, okay? But this is another one. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord, and I desire to live my life in a saving relationship with Him.
I do.
I accept the teachings of the Bible as expressed in the Statement of Fundamental Beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I pledge by God's grace to live my life in harmony with these teachings.
I do.
Amen. I desire to be baptized as a public expression of my belief in Jesus Christ, to be accepted into the fellowship of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to support the Church and its mission as a faithful steward by my personal influence, tithes and offerings, and life of service.
I do.
Let us pray. Let's kneel down as we pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus for this holy and special moment in recognition of the supreme sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. That is when you embraced Chris. That is when you died for everything. That's when you died for all his sins and mine and all of us. And Lord, he has come to realize that he has embraced your saving grace, your sacrificial love. And Lord Jesus, as he makes a public declaration of going into the waters of baptism and rising from those waters, may the power of the Holy Spirit be upon him in the quietness and determination of staying close to you, to your word, and doing joyfully and gladly your will. Lord, I pray for the outpouring of your Spirit on Chris, that all his abilities, all that you have created him to be for, that they come forth and that he may serve others in love. Lord, may your blessing rest upon him in the power of the Spirit. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you ask, is the water cold? The answer is yes. Well, Chris, here we are, and here are the people that you know. Some of them you know better, some of them less. Mom and Dad are here as well, and your body is now getting used to being cold, so that's okay. But Chris, Jesus is here with us, and he was baptized. And when I think about Jesus' baptism, why would he do that? But I came to realize that at the point of baptism, Jesus was saying, I'm uniting my life with you. Because baptism does relate to who we are. And the majesty and glory and sinlessness of Christ connected to my sinfulness and brokenness. And he took all of it. So that's what he was baptized. And so this baptism then really also reminds you of what happened on the cross, because 2,000 years ago we united with Christ in exactly that same way, because you recognize your brokenness, your falling short that was any trouble for you. I commanded you and be my disciples. You already are. And this public expression before everybody else is confirmation of that decision as well as the reality. May God bless you. And now, because of your faith, Chris, today I baptize you in the name of Father, of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think beside remembering that the water was cold, he will remember that. I think he will also remember the importance of it. And so, folks, I've already spoken quite a bit, but it gives me always pleasure to see and to be a part of such an experience. Chris is truly a man of God. When he came to this church, he knew no one. Did you know that? He literally knew no one, which tells you about the power of the gospel. He only made friends and acquaintances when he came here. And it took time, but the power of the gospel was strong enough to keep him. And I know that God has already carved a pathway of life for Chris, which is ahead of him. And we are privileged to have Chris as our brother now and in our midst. I just want to say to those of you who have not been baptized, this is the time. Your baptism will be a reenactment of what already took place. And what already took place is your salvation. It already happened. Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago, and you come to accept that reality as a good news. And you say, yes, yes, I accept that. So I want to invite you, if you have accepted that Jesus lived, came for a purpose to save humanity and to save you personally, and he already did that, he already saved you, but the question is, do you recognize it? So many people will go and be damned for eternity because they have never accepted it, or they have literally rejected it. So if you have come to recognize it, that's called good news. What prevents you? You know, a eunuch would say, Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts would say, now what prevents me from being baptized? The answer is what? What is the answer to that? Nothing. Nothing prevents you. All has been done. So I just invite those of you, if there is somebody here who has not been baptized and would like to be baptized, please stand up. So it's a little bit of courage, not a huge courage. The courage already was displayed 2,000 years ago. That's called courage. So if you would like to be baptized and you haven't been baptized, please, it's just a stand. It's just a moment in your life when you are determined. Anybody? It's okay. Very good. I want you to see Micheline. This girl is going to be baptized next. And Micheline called me some months ago. And she was brought up in an Adventist church, but drifted away. Very intelligent young lady, but has come to realize that drifting away and that the world has not much to offer. And she genuinely is back in the fold and loves God with all her heart. She just finished her master's in, help me, Michelle. international business. And October, when is the day? October 12, is it? Yeah, 10. October 10. That will be next baptism. Thank you, Michelle. Is there anybody else who would like to be baptized? Maybe even in October. Or maybe later on. That's okay. All right, let me have a prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you so much for Chris. When you were making a plan of salvation, it was not just the masses of people that you decided to die for, but you literally had in mind Chris. And it's as if there is nobody else in this world, because you create the relationship with us individually as if there is nobody else in the world. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that you have united your life with him, and that Chris is now devoted to you. Lord, I pray also for Michelin, who has decided to follow you, that you will bless her, that you will make her into a powerful witness for you. Lord, I pray for those who are sitting here and who are deciding to be the followers of Jesus. I pray that you will put it on their heart and give them the determination of the Spirit to get to know Jesus and to be his disciples, is what I ask in his name. Amen.
Test. Can I ask the elders of the church, those of you who are present, to come up, please, here. This is our tradition. And Chris, you come up too. And this is now formally recognizing the moment of you becoming a member of the church. So here are the elders. And so, Chris, I want to present to you the book. It's a beautiful devotional book on the life of Jesus Christ. It's called The Messiah. And I'm sure you're going to, this is the best devotional book on the life of Jesus. And I trust that it'll be really good for you as you read it. And also this baptismal commitment or certificate. Here it is, Ken.
Chris, it's just such a blessing to have you as part of our church family here at Mount Gravatt. I've enjoyed so much our Zoom sessions, you know, even from afar, and more recently being able to face-to-face in class time. But just to see the grace of the gospel of God just work in your heart, it's just a wonderful thing. And I can just tell you from my own experience, it's the best thing that can ever happen to you in this life, bar none. So just welcome to the family, and it's a great delight.